You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Blue White Breakdown. The premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and Johnny McGonigal.
Penn State fans, Blue White Breakdown time. Spring drills edition. It's 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. Johnny McGonigal, Bob Flounders here. Johnny, I think you might still be up in State College just because it's a two for a week for Penn State media coverage. James Franklin addressed the media on Tuesday, talked about the team going into spring. There was a practice window to watch practice later on Tuesday. And then on Friday morning, nice and early, Penn State's pro day up in inside Haluba Hall will be held for the media, for all the NFL teams that want to be there. I'm thinking for just about everyone from Penn State that went to the combine will probably be back. There might be a couple other people, other players there as well. But Johnny, let's not waste any time. Penn State's practicing, man. It's the winter's over, even though it didn't feel like it earlier this week. But practice, but also James Franklin. What jumped out to you? Let's start with James. Also, I got a couple of questions from our tech subscribers I'm going to throw at you. I thought they were both very good questions, the ones that I picked. But what stood out to you about James Franklin's – he talked for about 35 minutes with the media on Tuesday. What stood out to you?
Yeah, Bob, he covered a lot. I mean, this is the first time speaking to him since I guess it was a month ago, because a couple days after he spoke to us, Abdul Carter's move from linebacker to defensive end, happened to pop up on the online roster. And so we were able to, ask him about that. That was the first question from Audrey Snyder of The Athletic. She asked James about the move for Abdul. And I know you wrote about that, if you want to go into a little bit more detail on that. But, talking about that, talking about obviously Drew Allard, new offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, new defensive coordinator, Tom Allen, new special teams coordinator, Justin Lustig, so a lot of transition on the coaching staff right now. And while James could speak to that, from, last month and after the Peach Bowl and everything, now it feels a little bit more real because spring camp is here. And so, these guys have been working behind the scenes for a while, but, getting to see them out on the practice field on Tuesday, was really impressed and kind of, not necessarily surprised, but impressed. But, the intensity and the energy that Andy Kotelnicki brought to even the indie drills. And so expecting, big things from him, just based on what he did at Kansas. And James talked about that and Drew and Bo and the third string running backs. I mean, you asked me what stood out. It was a lot. It was a lot to sift through. And that's what we're here for.
Yeah, just a couple of news and notes. You mentioned Abdul Carter. I think the fans know that he's going to be a defensive end player. Mekhi Flowers, a reserve safety last year, is going to be at wideout. It's not nearly as big a news as Abdul Carter's move. Before we get to Abdul Carter, though, just real quick, a bit of news early in the news conference. Mark Brennan asked about the offensive line and referenced the fact that a Penn State player named Drew had his arm in a sling, a couple of weeks earlier. I think it caught James a little bit off guard, but then he realized which Drew. Then he realized which Drew Mark Brennan was referring to. So I believe you wrote about that. So it's Drew Shelton. Drew Shelton is a guy that probably is going to start at left tackle. I'd be surprised if he's not, but I guess. He's going to be very limited, very, very limited during spring drills if he participates at all.
Yeah, yeah. Very limited equals just not participating. I don't expect Drew Shelton to suit up this spring, whether that's in practice, whether that's in the blue-white game. James said it was an undisclosed injury. Some people have already said that it's a shoulder injury. His arm being in the sling would make sense. Drew Shelton, not Drew Aller, because that did cause some confusion at the press conference.
I was a little confused. That I was too.
Yeah, because, you know, Mark Brennan, who's great, you know, he asked the question about Drew being in a sling. Now, he prefaced it by asking about the offensive tackles. And so he meant Shelton. But James was just like, you know, this is news to me, like kind of deal in terms of it being Aller. But anyway, so Drew Shelton, yeah, he underwent surgery after the 2023 season. James had said that, you know, it's something that it was kind of unclear whether he said it was something he already played through or something that he could play through in the future. But they decided, you know, all parties involved, that it just made sense to get the surgery done. It's not like he's a freshman who desperately needs spring camp and, you know, needs the reps and needs to prove himself. I mean, I think Penn State feels pretty good about Drew Shelton and what he's already done within this program entering his junior season. As we talked about before, you know, stepped in for Olu Fashanu at the end of the 2022 season. As a freshman from Downingtown West, you know, he started the final five games of the 2022 season, including that Rose Bowl, played in all 13 games last year, had a big role as a swing tackle. And so I think Penn State feels really comfortable with him. And I would be surprised if he's not their starting left tackle on the 2024 season. But look, that opens up more reps for other guys at tackle. Javen Williams, Anthony Donko, Nolan Rucci, three guys who we fully expect to compete for that starting job at right tackle. James also mentioned JB Nelson, which I thought was interesting because, you know, JB played guard last year primarily, but, you know, has the ability to play tackle as well. So I'm sure he'll be getting reps there. And if JB ultimately plays tackle, I think it makes your offensive line look a little bit different. Maybe Venga Ione at left guard instead of JB, with Nick Dawkins expected to start at center. But so some moving parts already on the offensive line during spring camp. You'd rather something like this happen now, Bob, than in August, right before the season starts. So I guess that's good, but seems like more of a precautionary get him right before the season starts.
Yeah. Nolan Rucci, James said, is up to 315. So that's, I think, another good sign if he can hold that weight, maybe put on another 10, at least another 5 pounds to get into August camp. Cause he's such a tall player. He's not skinny, but he just doesn't really look like a classic offensive tackle prospect. He could certainly add weight. I think he was just around 300 pounds when he got here. That's been a focus of the strength and conditioning staff to get him bigger and stronger. James said he's 315. That's a good sign, Johnny. As far as Abdul Carter, I think the only news there, I don't think it was a huge surprise, and I don't think you were surprised either when he made the move to defensive end. James said two things I thought that kind of stood out. One was it was really Abdul and his family that pushed for this move. James talked about him during his true freshman year, 2022, saying he was already big enough before he ever got to the strength and conditioning program to play linebacker. And then James said on Tuesday that when he looked at him a lot, he saw a defensive end, but they wanted him to be a linebacker. That worked very well for 2 years, but I think Abdul wants to try defensive end. That's a position I think that is a premium position more so than a linebacker in today's game. I think that's a position you can get paid at a little bit more. He certainly has the size at 250. He wants to make the move. Johnny, in the age of NIL, I think if a really talented player wants to try a new position, I don't think he's going to get too much resistance from a coach. He could at least try it, see how it goes. They could still use him at linebacker. I also thought it was interesting that James said, he basically said, you know, he was, you know, linebacker weight 250 is a big number to play linebacker. And he was kind of, it wasn't easy for him to kind of gain more weight. He also said the same thing about Kobe King, who's listed at 250 on the roster, Penn State's middle linebacker. Two players, I'll be curious to see if Kobe drops a little weight, and I'll be curious to see how much bigger Abdul Carter will be maybe by the time the season starts. It's a good defensive end room, but I do think the new Tom Allen probably would like to use him in a lot of different ways. But it was really Abdul's idea. Mekhi Flowers, the wideout, who's the wideout now, moved from safety. It was his idea to move to wideout. That safety room's pretty good. I think that was good looking out on Mekhi's part, because I don't know if he had much of a future at safety when they have those two starters in Reed, you know, and Kevin Winston coming back. They like the young safeties behind them. You know, and also they also like he mentions the key Wheatley saying he thinks he's ready for bigger things. He's a fourth year player now, ready for bigger things this fall. I thought that was a good sign. King Mack, the safety, the young safety, is a guy they really like. But Johnny, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, it seemed like a very vanilla question late in the press conference about installation, how big of a deal it is, and, you know, how does that process start, especially when you have three new coordinators. That's kind of rare to replace all three, you know, but Penn State is. Andy Kotelnicki takes over from Mike Yurcich. He was fired after the Michigan game. Manny Diaz took the Duke job. Tom Allen takes over, the former Indiana head coach. Justin Lustig is the new special teams coordinator after Stacey Collins moved back to the West Coast. So the question was about installation, what that looks like. And James went into it and he said, you know, he said something interesting. He said to me, I read it, he said it's almost, when it comes to installation, the coaches have to get on the same page when they talk about what they want to install before they can even bring it up to the players in spring. I think James used a couple of key phrases there. What's in the best interest of Penn State? He used the term compromise. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Johnny, but I think a lot of this relates to the offensive scheme and what Andy Kotelnicki wants to do at Penn State. He's a very creative person when he was at Kansas. He hasn't lost any of that creativity. But to me, this harkens back to, this is just my interpretation. I don't think James really enjoyed his 2 years with Mike Yurcich. I really don't think they were ever on the same page. I know James was happy to bring him in, but he's made a couple of references to what Mike Yurcich's offense looked like, especially in 2023. And how kind of, if there were any suggestions made, they were kind of dismissed. I'm sure there's going to be some give and take in all three phases. But to me, this is another indication that James and Andy have to be on the same page. And when he says what's best for Penn State, I think James wants to be kind of looped in and be able to agree upon some things.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the offensive side of the ball, look back and just remember where James Franklin comes from. He was a college quarterback at East Stroudsburg. He cut his teeth as an offensive assistant, offensive coordinator at Maryland. You know, he wants to be involved. And you know, that's why when Mike Yurcich was you know, dismissed, when he was fired after that Michigan game last year, you know, the first press conference that James had, he was talking about compromise. And he was talking about everyone pulling, you know, he might not use this phrase, but he uses it all the time. And it came across this way. It's everyone pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that was a theme too, as the few weeks went along. And, you know, we talked to the co-offensive coordinators and Jaywan Sider and Ty Howell, not only the specifics of, you know, putting your players in position to succeed and all that kind of stuff, but it was everyone being on the same page. And I think you could kind of tell, even in the post Michigan press conference that James had, about the play calling, and it just didn't seem like they were seeing eye to eye, you know, at all in terms of what the game plan was, you know, going into the week to what was called on Saturdays. And I think that played a big part in Mike Yurcich's dismissal. I think the product itself was a big part of that too. The worry that you're not going to get the best out of Drew Aller, your five-star quarterback. And I do think that Andy Kotelnicki is a guy, you know, judging from what he's done, not only at Kansas, but at Buffalo and his whole staff, you know, with Andy Kotelnicki coming in as the offensive coordinator, you know, Kansas averaged 7 yards per play over the last two seasons. I think only a handful of teams, you know, LSU, USC, Georgia, Oregon, Washington, were better than that over a two-year stretch. And so Andy knows what he's doing. And it's just a matter of, you know, him conveying everything to James and them being on the same page, because obviously the players, it's not just the players who have to be on the same page and know what they're doing. James, with his background and the way he manages the program, the way he kind of, you know, obviously he's the head coach, but he's the CEO as well. And so he has his hand in everything, offense specifically. And so we'll see how that all, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But I expect Andy Kotelnicki to do a good job.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we get to a couple of questions, Johnny, one more thing. I know you got a good look during practice, but a couple of interesting notes James has asked about late in his news conference about the running backs. Something we talked about on the podcast a week or two ago involving London Montgomery and his weight surfaced in some of James' comments. And also some pretty honest comments about where Quentin Martin was coming out of winter workouts. He was an early enrollee, running back with a lot of talent, just a great career at the high school level. But he also, you know, he said something about Quentin Martin and about how maybe how prepared he was coming into Penn State. Just a little bit educational. Just your thoughts maybe on what he had to say about, because, you know, they still need a third running back, right? They still, assuming good health for Catron and Nick Singleton, Trey Potts isn't there. There's some competition there for the third running back. I think it's legit. And if anything happens to either one of those guys, that third running back is going to become a lot more important. But I was struck a little bit by how he kind of analyzed some of the contenders for maybe that job.
Yeah, Bob, you said, you know, those two guys have been healthy so far in their Penn State careers. You know, everyone picks up the bumps and bruises, and it's just the nature of not only playing college football, but, you know, playing in the Big Ten in general. But Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, you know, they've rotated a lot. They've shared series, and I think that has helped keep those guys fresh and keep them healthy with what Jaywon Sider has done, you know, over the last two seasons. But at the same time, you know, running back is a tough position. Injuries happen. And so they need a number three running back prepared. Like last year, if Nick or Catron went down, I think, you know, judging from what you saw from Trey Potts, you know, in spurts and what you saw, what he did at Minnesota, that he would have stepped in and done a fine job. Who is that number three guy going to be for Penn State in 2024? My money, honestly, at this point is probably Quentin Martin. You know, he not only comes in as this high profile recruit from Bell Vernon, but you just put on the tape, the talent's there. The pass catching is there for a team that I think wants to get the running backs more involved in the passing game, out of the backfield, in the slot. However you want to use them, Andy Kotelnicki is going to find a way. You know, Cam Wallace was described as an exciting player by James yesterday. But talking about London Montgomery, the main thing that stood out to me was the weight. And you know, when we look at the roster and we see that London Montgomery is at 186 pounds, and you know, that's pretty much what he came in at, if not a little bit lower. And I know that he had the ACL injury that forced him to miss his senior season at Scranton Prep. And so that, I'm sure, you know, did a number on him in terms of, you know, getting to the weight and the body type and everything that you need to be at to compete at this level. But James said it kind of flat out that, you know, at 186 pounds, if you're trying to block a 250 pound Kobe King or Abdul Carter, kind of like, you know, the math doesn't add up there. And so, you know, London Montgomery seemingly has to do some more work in the weight room and everything, you know, maybe has some peanut butter jelly sandwiches and add on some weight. But, you know, Quentin Martin, I think he came in or when he signed, he was around 185 and he's at 194 right now. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets up to 200 before the season. And as long as he keeps the speed and everything that he showed at Bell Vernon, I think he's going to be one to watch, not only for the future, for when Nick Singleton and Catron Allen eventually go to the NFL, which could be after this season. And I think that's kind of what they're, I think why they got two running backs in the 2023 class, two of them in the 24 class with Martin and Corey Smith, who will be coming in the summer. I think they kind of understand that Catron and Nick will probably be off to the NFL after this upcoming season. And so you want to see progress from those guys behind them. They've got a whole spring camp to do so. They've got summer, they've got August camp. But yeah, it was interesting to kind of take that away from what James said. Because he went from London Montgomery, you know, 186 pounds, blah, 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 to, you know, Quentin Martin came in and he was really raw from Bell Vernon, 40 time the stance, like everything, like he needed to learn, but he picked everything up and he's been doing a really good job. And so I think you read between the lines a lot with James. And I think he and the coaching staff and the strength staff have been impressed with what Quentin Martin has done in his short time at Penn State so far.
All right, the blue-white breakdown almost done here. We're going to get to the pro day, which is Friday morning. Early, Johnny. Early Friday morning State College for Penn State. But before that, just a couple of questions. Going to put you on the spot a little from our Penn Live Tech subscribers. You guys out there, we have a link at the bottom of almost all of our stories, Johnny and I's stories about how to become a Penn Live Penn State Tech subscriber. We're going to try and ramp it up a little bit more this year. It's very affordable. I think you guys would get a lot out of it. And we do a lot with it at this time of year and also in the fall. So if you get, oh, look, there's another siren. Johnny, two questions for you. Two questions that I liked. Here you go. What will be the Achilles heel of the PSU offense going into spring camp? And who are the players on the spot to step up this year? Certainly Julian Fleming, Drew Aller, the offensive line, Johnny, when you look at a potential Achilles heel for the Penn State offense, there's an obvious answer there, but is there anything else that's kind of on your radar and maybe some players that got to really step up this year?
Yeah, I think the obvious answer is wide receiver. And you know, he mentioned it in that, you know, Julian Fleming, you throw Keandre Lambert-Smith, Harrison Wallace, the third, Amari Evans, Caden Saunders. Like, you know, Julian comes in as, obviously he was a five-star guy out of Southern Columbia, and never was able to really break out at Ohio State. It's kind of difficult when you have Marvin Harrison Jr., Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, to have to contend with and compete with on a daily basis. But, you know, the early returns on Julian Fleming in winter workouts and everything have been good from both a workouts, like a physical standpoint, and also a leadership standpoint. I think he's a good player. They're going to make him earn his starting job. You know, at practice yesterday, like he wasn't, it's early, but just during the indie drills, like he wasn't running with the ones. But at the same time, like I don't even think that's like worth reading into at all, because he's going to be a starting receiver for this team, arguably their number one target at receiver. So he's going to be under the microscope, because you look at the hype and the buildup around his recruitment, doesn't come to Penn State, now comes in. And I think there's a lot of expectation around him, and rightfully so, given the profile of player and given the need at wide receiver that Penn State has. And there's going to be pressure, too, on Keandre Lambert-Smith, who really disappeared down the stretch. Harrison Wallace, who was identified this time last year in spring camp as one of the two clear-cut top wide receivers on this roster, along with Keandre. And Trey, you know, Wallace dealt with injuries last year, never really got rolling at all. And then you're looking at, you know, below those guys, players who have an opportunity to step up and assert themselves and carve out a role for themselves. And that's the Amari Evans, that's, you know, Caden Saunders, Liam Clifford. And so, yeah, if there's going to be an Achilles heel for this offense, it's the same Achilles heel from last year and it's wide receiver.
Yeah. Johnny, one position, one spot, I think that is flying under the radar. I don't know how the Penn State fans feel about it, but I think it's a big spot this year. And I think it's going to be one of those spots that really, when you really kind of look at it, could really shape what this Penn State offense can do. Our guy, Andy Kotelnicki, is a former offensive lineman. He looks at offense a little bit differently than I think most offensive coordinators. But I think he also, I remember I asked him about the offensive line and kind of what he has to do and how he kind of sees the game. And he said, you know, you gotta make sure the offensive line's on the same page. You gotta make things simple enough for them so they can execute what he has in mind. And I think all of that is true. I think center this year, Johnny, is a big position when you consider who Penn State had the last couple of years at center. Juice Scruggs, the way that he closed down his career, ended up being a second round pick, really, really good player for Penn State in 2022. Hunter Norzad, I think, is definitely going to get drafted now. I think he's really solidified himself as a draftable center in the last couple of months. Second team All Big Ten pick last year at center could help them at guard. And I just think the center is, you know, left tackles is really important on every offensive line, but so is center because of what they have to do with the line of scrimmage, the rapport with the quarterback. And in this case, the quarterbacks, because I think Penn State's going to play two. Let's not forget about Bo Prabula. I know we won't, but I think Nick Dawkins is a veteran player who certainly is physically ready, but there's more to it than that. And I think that Penn State really needs to come out of spring drills and maybe, you know, in the summer feeling good about where they are at the center position. I think of all the positions on the offense, it's easy to focus on the skill positions, Johnny, but I do think Penn State, I would be surprised if we don't hear from James Franklin at some point during spring practices with a comment or two about whether it's Nick or whoever about the centers, because I think he also knows that they really need to have their ducks in the row on the offensive line, especially at center.
Yeah, I agree. And Nick Dawkins does seem poised to be that guy, because not only you mentioned he's physically ready, from all accounts, he's, you know, mentally and emotionally and leadership wise ready. I mean, he's a vocal guy, not only in that offensive line room, but in the locker room as a whole. And so I would be surprised if it's not Nick Dawkins. But at the same time, we talk about moving parts on this offensive line. You know, Van Guyon at guard, you know, he can play center if they need him to. He's a big dude. That would be, what is he, like 352 pounds? Like,
I don't know if I've seen many bigger, and he's just like, when I say big, like, I don't mean like he holds it well, but he is just a large human being, and every, like, legs, you know, right, back, arms, neck, head, like, he is just a giant of a person.
And then another center too, someone that honestly stood out to me yesterday, and not from a, like, drill standpoint, but Cooper Cousins. So the early enrollee from Erie McDowell, you know, elevated to a five-star prospect by the end of the recruiting process. And he was the first recruit in the 24 class. He was a leader in that class, but he's also a damn good player. And watching him walk by me yesterday, Bob, he's 6'6", I think 320, which seems more like a tackle. And I wouldn't be surprised if Cooper ends up anywhere on the offensive line, because he can play really any spot. But they're beginning his career at center. And when he walked by me, it looked like his shoulder pads were made for children. Like, it was just like, he was like coming out of them. He is a massive dude. And I think there's a lot of confidence in him and what he already did in winter workouts and how he handled himself and how he acclimated himself, you know, to this program, that he's not necessarily going to start, but just one to watch and someone to keep an eye on, because, you know, if you need to use, you know, Vanga over at left guard or right guard or wherever, you know, Cooper Cousins could be your backup center as a true freshman. And so another one just to keep an eye on.
All right, Johnny, one more for you. Biggest issues. All right, we covered part of this, but there's another element coming in this question. Biggest issues: passing game, interior defensive line ability to pressure up the middle, and sideline coaching in big games. So, Johnny, I think we touched on the passing game. at least from the wide receiver end of it. But if you have any thoughts, maybe either on the tight ends, the running backs in the passing game, or what Andy Kotelnicki might do with either Drew and or Bo, feel free to share. But I do think interior defensive line, he's really, this question is really about, I think, disruption as much as it is, you know, holding down the fort in the running games. But they need to get some more pressure inside. So biggest issues, passing game, interior defensive line, ability to pressure up the middle, or, and this is a fan favorite, sideline coaching in big games, Johnny. Not all games, big games.
It's tough to quantify the last one other than wins and losses. And, you know, there are more losses than wins in those big games. And so I think that kind of speaks for itself. I'll just go with what happened last year. And in the big games in Ohio State and Michigan, the passing game was really non-existent. You know, Drew threw, I think, 42 times at Ohio State and had 191 yards. He only threw 23 times against Michigan and had 70 yards. The passing offense needs to be better. And we already touched on the wide receivers. You know, part of that is Drew and progression and being more consistent, because it's a stat that James Franklin likes to throw out there a lot. And it's fair, the touchdown to interception ratio, you know, 25-2 last year. I think no FBS quarterback had fewer or, you know, as many two interceptions as Drew, with as many passing attempts as he had last year, which is 389. So it's a good number to have, but at the same time, you need to be able to push the ball downfield. You need to be able to connect on those deep shots. That's Drew. That's the offensive line affording the time. That's the wide receivers creating separation. That's the usage of the tight ends. And then, you know, the running taking one and going 50, like, you know, Nick Singleton with a screen against Michigan State. We need to see more of that. And so I'm confident in what Zane Durant can do from an interior pass rush point. I think Devon Elise as well can do some nice things there. So I lean the passing offense. And this has been, I think it was their biggest issue last year. And it remains, I think, this team's biggest question mark for Andy Kotelnicki to solve, for him to provide an answer for in 2024.
Yeah. As far as the defensive tackles go, I just think the fan base just needs to realize one thing. Like, in every national recruiting class, those are rare commodities, five-star defensive tackles that move like defensive ends, that are built like defensive tackles. You know, Georgia had a couple of them in the last couple of years, and I think they're both Philadelphia Eagles right now, but there just aren't that many humans that are 6'4", 330, with light feet, a quick first step. Like, so when you talk about disruption, they are hard to find. You can do something to enhance players in the weight room, but those there aren't that many of them around. You know, even in the Big Ten, there were a couple at Michigan the last couple of years. There were a couple at Georgia, but maybe a couple at Alabama, but they weren't anywhere else. They're hard to find. You can try and bulk some players up. I think Zane Durant is a guy that is easily their most explosive defensive tackle, but as far as getting push up the middle, I think in today's game, Johnny, either you're moving a defensive end into the middle of the field like Penn State did last year, or you have a 250-pound linebacker like Abdul Carter who could shoot through the A gap before pretty much just as the ball is snapped. It's just really hard to get that disruption up the middle. I think Penn State feels good about their defensive line group, as it's probably going to be as good as they've had depth wise just because of the veterans that came back. But I just don't know, other than Zane Durant, if they have a player capable of maybe on one or two plays either changing the game or wrecking a game. But I don't think anyone else does either.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I mean, Zane Durant, I was really impressed by what he did last year. Looking forward to seeing what he'll do this year. Knock on wood, stay healthy for all these guys, right? Like, as we enter now spring camp and then ultimately the summer and August camp, need all these guys to stay healthy. But I really like what Zane Durant did last year. And I think he is just, you know, he went from his freshman year to being, you know, kind of a guy for the future and, you know, flashing and playing a lot of ball for them. But, you know, last year really stepping up and being more of a starter quality, starter level player. And I only think the trajectory is going up for him, but that's just one guy. So yeah, like you mentioned, Bob, it's just one guy. And so we'll see how much he can do. We'll see how much Abdul and Deni Dennis Sutton, assuming he takes a big step, you know, how much that frees things up on the inside for those guys to, you know, get more one-on-one matchups and do their thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Johnny, real quick, pro day. Let's just assume that all or most of Penn State's 10-player contingent that was in at the scouting combine will be in State College. If nothing, maybe not necessarily to test, because some of them probably don't need to test, but to meet with NFL teams some more, maybe set some things up. I guess I'll put it to you this way. Of the guys who were in Indy, who needs maybe to do some more testing? I think a couple of the players either were limited by injury or chose not to work out. Who are the players maybe that should test on Friday? And is there anyone that was not invited to the combine from the Penn State roster that maybe we should be looking forward to see either testing or just kind of seeing what they had to say with regard to what some NFL teams told them?
Yeah, I'll start with the last part there in terms of guys who weren't invited. Two players, I have one, and it's Trey Potts. It's someone that I already mentioned earlier in the podcast, and we talked about is that number three running back. I think he's a good player, and I wasn't surprised when he wasn't invited to combine. You know, it's rare that number three running backs on Power Five teams get invited to the combine. I was not expecting him to get an invite to Indy, but I think he has some juice, and I think he's a guy who, in interviews and stuff with NFL teams, scouts, executives, coaches would kill it, and I expect him to land with a team. I don't expect him to be drafted, but you know, if he comes out there and runs a really good 40, like who knows? So yeah, in terms of guys who like, I'm you know not expecting Chop to run, yeah. like there's no reason for that. There's no reason for Daquan Hardy to run, you know, Jacobs. Like I don't know, like you know, it's excuse my phone there for a second. Yeah, I don't know. But is there someone that really stands out to you from the combine that didn't have? I mean, Johnny Dixon didn't run, and like, is he going to be healthy enough to run?
Johnny, I'm going to give you a number 4.61. Is that a hint for you?
4.61. Was that Adesis?
That was no. Kalen King's 40 time.
Oh, geez, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Kalen could use it. Kalen could use a boost. Kalen could use a boost. Yeah, no. If Adisa ran a because Adisa was like a 4.7.
Yeah. I think if you're Kalen, I think I want another crack at it. The downside is if it's another 4.6. Well, I mean, you've kind of cemented. Typically, they run faster at their pro days. I don't know what that is, but I think that Kalen obviously. He is an athlete, and I know he did some other testing that was good, but I think that 40 time, it might be a little overrated in today's day and age, but he might want another crack at it. I don't think Johnny Dixon was able to – he didn't test at all, so I don't know where he is with his recovery, but at some point he's going to need to probably do some things for scouts. If he's healthy, I'd love to see how – because I could never really tell how fast he was. He was plenty fast on the field, but I'm curious as a bigger corner – how fast he is. One other player I wanted to throw in there, Keaton Ellis, the guy that can play safety or corner, didn't go to the combine. He was probably Penn State's third safety last year. I think he might even have been a captain, and I thought he was going to start, but the other two guys were just better than him, Jalen and Kevin Winston. But I think he's a guy that could wind up on an NFL roster. He could play special teams. He could probably pinch hit at corner, you know, and if he can run well, I think he's a guy. I think I'll be curious to see what he runs up in State College.
Agreed. Yeah. No, yeah. Keaton was a captain, but yeah, it was, and this is not to disparage him. I think it was just pretty clear. Yeah. It was just clear. I think Jalen and KJ were the better safeties last year. And, but yeah, obviously State College guy. You know, him coming out of high school, you know, to have an opportunity to to have pro day in front of NFL scouts in his hometown. Like, that's going to be, obviously, every time he took the field at Beaver Stadium, I'm sure it was special for him, but I'm sure he's really looking forward to this opportunity, as all these guys are, and not just to run and do 40s, but guys who are definitely going to be drafted. Still an opportunity to talk to NFL teams and, you know, chit chat with GMs and coaches. And that time is really valuable and precious. So they all take advantage of it.
All right, Johnny, we had a long one. That was a long session, almost 40 minutes. Hey, look, the weather's turning. We have a pro day to cover in a couple of days. Penn State fans, there's going to be some spring availabilities throughout the month of March and into April before the April 13th, I think it's April 13th, blue-white game. But, Johnny, I'm just excited. I know you are. The weather's getting nicer. I've heard talk of the 70s this week. I hope you get a chance to get out on the golf course. But Penn State fans, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening and watching. And we will be back next week with some pro day talk and also maybe some thoughts about some updates with Penn State spring practice.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.